This is Jay Sekulow. Two major developments, a victory against the President of the United States on the recess appointments, and a still missing pastor in Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We have some stunning new information in the trial of this American pastor on trial in Iran. Pastor Saeed Abedini is facing charges for attempting to create a network of Christian churches in that country. He's been held in infamous prison in Tehran for several months, but now the pastor's family says that he is missing.
He had serious medical conditions, and he was not being treated because some of those doctors and nurses considered him unclean because of his Christian faith.
Pastor Saeed is apparently in a great deal of pain because he was beaten while being interrogated, and the American Center for Law and Justice is circulating a petition that urges President Obama and the State Department and every member of Congress to fight for his freedom. And that petition has over 232,000 signatures, but their options are obviously limited since the U.S. and Iran have no diplomatic relations.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have this breaking news to report. A federal appeals court has just judged that President Obama violated the Constitution when he made recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board, and now the federal appeals court has ruled that that is unconstitutional.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. It has been a busy Friday morning for us at the ACLJ, our offices in D.C., our media center as well. And that's because we've got two things to report. We're going to say, number one, and this is really significant, we just got a decision from a three-judge Court of Appeals panel in Washington, D.C. The president's controversial appointments, those so-called recess appointments, to the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, and other appointments he made that we felt violated the Constitution. Well, we're not the only ones that said so. Three judges of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, ruled in our favor as well, noting when Congress refuses to act in a particular way, it's Congress' prerogative to make those decisions. And we've got this is really, really significant here, folks. Let me play for you what the President of the United States said when Congress doesn't act, he's going to make that move. Listen to what he said, and then we'll read you something from the court's opinion.
When Congress refuses to act, and as a result hurts our economy and puts our people at risk, then I have an obligation as president to do what I can without them.
Well, let me tell you what you cannot do, Mr. President. You can't make appointments to federal positions without advice and consent. In fact, here's what the three-judge panel said. Considering the text, history, and structure of the Constitution, these appointments were invalid from their inception. A huge victory for our side. We represented the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, in this case. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Is this an imperial presidency that just got rebuked? A president that sometimes acts like a monarch, just rebuked by a co-equal branch of government? Your comments and calls, 1-800-684-3110. And we've also got an update on Pastor Saeed's case. Jordan, you were on all over television last night and today. What's the latest?
Still no location for Pastor Saeed. He is still missing either within the prison system or he's been moved somewhere else or something worse. Now, the family hopes, as is typical in some prisons, though, not what you want to happen when in an Iranian prison when you've got a hanging judge. It's been since Monday. Dad, really, when you look at what's happened, we didn't know Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because the family didn't really figure out that they couldn't get in touch with him until Wednesday. And now it's, Friday night in Iran. Tomorrow they are going back to the jail, his family in Iran. They say they'll try to figure it out by then. But again, he is still technically unaccounted for inside Evin prison. The hope is that he was moved to a better part to get medical treatment from the torture that's been done to him, the beatings that have been done, but we don't know that yet.
Well, let me tell you this, folks. Two major decisions. You need to be praying for that Pastor Saeed, and we're going to take more of your calls at 800-684-3110, more about this victory. But, folks, stand up for this pastor. Last day to sign that petition on the radio today, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Well, a stinging rebuke to the Obama administration brought to you by a number of lawyers, including the American Center for Law and Justice, fighting against the Obama administration's appointment, a so-called recess appointment that he made when the Congress was not in recess. And let me give you some of the language. We represent the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, in this, folks. This was a huge case, huge decision today. We have quickly gone through this decision. It's over 35 pages in length. One of our lawyers here, Miles Terry, did an analysis for me, and I love this line. Allowing the president to define the scope of his own appointments power would eviscerate the Constitution's separation of powers, which is precisely and exactly what we argued before the Court of Appeals. Folks, this is a gigantic win. This is a checkmate to the President of the United States. Checkmate. We got him because he violated the Constitution of the United States by making these appointments. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go right to Than and Jordan. First, Than, big development here, obviously. Case we worked on, critically important, just the way you function in Washington.
Yeah, this is hugely important, Jay, and it's important on so many levels. First of all, you've clearly pointed out the first one, the impact it will have on the rulings that the NLRB has made in the interim. But it's so important for checks and balances, too, Jay, because while it may be the Senate that gets to vote to advise and consent these nominations, the House of Representatives has a role in this, too, because they get to agree with when they go out of session. The Speaker of the House came to us, asked us to make those arguments for him. We did them convincingly, and Jay, this is a full victory. The Speaker of the House is sure pleased with it. The Senate is pleased with it. We have protected those Article I powers. Very, very big news.
Folks, I want you to understand what Than just said. We just protected the integrity of the Constitution of the United States and the integrity of our system of governance. And, Jordan, that in and of itself is a huge deal. It's a huge deal, and it ties, in a way, it ties into what we're dealing with Saeed Abedini and the failure of the State Department to act. These branches of government can get checked by the House and the Senate when you explain the constitutional authorities that exist. Jordan?
You know, folks, I mean, listen, when you look at this, how big this was, I was actually walking out of Fox News. I mean, I had just done an interview after being live for a package piece on another issue involving the Obama administration not following the rules when it comes to the Department of Justice and investigating an issue. And everybody started looking down and saw this opinion, and you saw the defiance of President Obama when people question this, and many Senate Democrats and Democrats from the House and the Senate and the liberals saying this is ridiculous. Of course, this is, you know, the courts won't get involved. It's a political question. This opinion is so clear, and it just reinforces everything we've said about this administration, but not just that they'll do this and try to violate the Constitution, but that if you challenge them and you fight back, the courts don't change necessarily because of the elections. Of course, they appoint new judges. But you can win. You can beat this administration, even though he just was re-inaugurated for his second term. You can beat back. And this, again, voiding these appointments, it's a big deal. And especially, Than, in light of this filibuster reform deal, which did not go as far as liberals wanted. I mean, under the current New Deal, I wanted to ask you this. Would someone like Cordray still be able to get through any differently?
It's unclear on that, but here's the point that it defends the Senate's right to engage in that process. So he may or may not get through, Jordan, but the big deal in regards to this case is it preserves the Senate's right to engage. So whether or not they can meet that 50-vote threshold or that 60-vote threshold, it defends Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution and at least gives the Senate the opportunity to engage that process.
Let me tell you something else here, folks, and this is what's significant. If you're just joining us, we got a great decision, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. This was the challenge to President Obama's recess appointments. They were controversial at best, but the biggest issue was the fact that we believed, and representing the Speaker of the House, that Congress was not in recess. And the administration said, well, they're determining that it is in recess, and they don't really care what the Congress thinks about this. Well, let me tell you what the court said. Folks, this is a key decision, probably the most critical decision in the last 10 years, on the separation of powers. The power of a written constitution lies in its words. It is those words that were adopted by the people. When those words speak clearly, it's not up to us to depart from their meaning in favor of our own concept of efficiency, convenience, or facilitation of the functions of government. In light of the extensive evidence that the original public meaning of happen was arise, which means when the Congress actually goes into session recess, we hold that the president may only make recess appointments to fill vacancies that arise during the recess. And the president doesn't get to make the definition of what the recess is. Folks, huge victory. Huge victory checking the authority and the power of the presidency here. And because of your support of the ACLJ, we were able to engage this case. And I want to say right now, folks, if you have ever thought about becoming a member of the ACLJ, this would be a great day to do it. I encourage you to go to aclj.org. You can sign up and become a member. Really easy. Make an online donation to the ACLJ. Support our work. This is the kind of results when we work together we can get. Checking the president of the United States. Checkmate. Right here. At the U.S. District Court, U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. This is a huge win, folks. As you can tell, I'm really pleased with this, very excited that this decision came out today. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's grab a phone call, Jordan.
Yep, right to the phones we go. Vicky calling from Texas Online 2. Vicky, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. I am somewhat new to the political process.
Sure.
My question is, first of all, I love the work that you guys
Thanks.
Do. You bring me to current news and let me know why the Christians are being attacked. But it really saddens me, and I'm kind of baffled at the current administration. What is the president doing that is so horrible to the point to where...
Right.
You know, Congress would not act. What was he supposed to do?
Well, he has to follow the Constitution of the United States. And, Vicky, the president is a president. He's not a king. And if the Congress disagrees with the president's actions, which they did in this particular case, he doesn't have the right to go around the Congress of the United States. But you bring up a really good point. And I want to play for you something the president said. We played this bite earlier. I want to play for you again. I want to break it down for you because, Vicky, you're asking a really good question. Take a listen to what the president said, and then I'm going to explain what it means.
When Congress refuses to act, and as a result hurts our economy and puts our people at risk, then I have an obligation as president to do what I can without them.
The to do what I can without them has to be put into the right context. He cannot go around the Congress. The president has to follow the Constitution. And three judges from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia said the president's appointments were a violation of the Constitution because the Senate was not in recess. So he can do some things by executive order, but there is separation of powers, meaning you have an executive branch, legislative branch, and a judicial branch. All three of those came into play here. You realize that's the unique aspect of this case. The president made a recess appointment in his mind. Congress, the legislative branch, said, we are not in recess. The court said, Mr. President, you cannot make that appointment because they're not in recess. So that's the way the system works. We're taking your phone calls. That was a good question. At 1-800-684-3110, that's 800-684-3110. The president takes a power move, and he is countermanded, basically, aggressively by the court. So this is a huge decision with huge repercussions. I mean, Fan and Jordan, again, the repercussions of this are serious. And it ties into, by the way, I see we've got a call coming in on the F-16s. I'll tie this right in. Let's take Ann's call, Jordan, from Oklahoma.
Sure, Ann in Oklahoma, line one. Ann, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Ann.
Thank you. Not only the F-16s, 20 of them to Egypt,
right,
the Muslim Brotherhood, and we wouldn't have the problem with
right.
Egypt if he hadn't meddled with Egypt and then Libya. And he, like you say, he is not a king. But this thing where he is constantly doing things, spending money without the approval of Congress.
Well, this is the perfect example, Anne, of where the president, this case today actually impacts us in a way. And that is, this case shows that there's separation of powers and that the president has certain authority. But one thing he cannot do, he does not have the power of the purse. When he asked for $1.5 billion, if Congress says no, that money going to the Muslim Brotherhood, Fan, the answer then is no. That's what this opinion, again, reiterates. Separation of powers means something.
Yeah, and Jay, that is why we at the ACLNJ engage all three branches, because sometimes, depending on the political climate, there's different opportunities
right.
in different branches. What this decision does, it puts the president on notice. We had a lot of concern that he would feel unchecked in this second term.
Right.
This decision helps that because it reminds him we are watching, and when he oversteps his bounds, we're going to fight him in court, and we're going to beat him in court.
All right, Jordan, quickly give us an update again on Pastor Saeed. I want people to take some action on this as well.
They need to follow our website and Twitter very closely tomorrow because their family will be going back, and they were told, you know, the main prison officials will be back tomorrow at Evin Prison because when they went Thursday for a normal visitation, he was nowhere to be found, and the guard did not know where he was. Now, they did ask on Monday for him to be moved to a better part of the prison. That's the hope, but we're talking about Iran. We're talking about a hanging judge and a missing pastor. We hope that we will get an answer tomorrow, that it's a good one.
All right, folks, again, last day for you to sign on to the petition on our radio broadcast. 1-877-989-2255. Right now, we can't find the pastor. It's a very troubling situation that's developed there in Iran. You heard from the wife this morning. It's just really tragic. So you go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255 and sign that petition.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
This controversy took place. Jay Carney, the president's spokesman, called what we were arguing and others were arguing, that the president didn't have the authority to make an appointment when there was in fact no recess, and that he's not the king, he's not an imperial president. He called it a gimmick. Take a listen to number four.
This is a gimmick versus a constitutionally enshrined authority, and we feel very comfortable as a legal matter that Constitution trumps gimmicks.
Yeah, here's what the court said. Allowing the president to define the scope of his own appointment power would eviscerate the Constitution's separation of powers. Sorry, Jay Carney. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, you were just saying, and I think this is, we're getting some phone calls, folks. Is this an impeachable offense? And the answer to that is no, because the president now has been notified by the court that his powers were checked. And unless he violates that by trying to go around it, which he can't, this should be the end of it. The president's power was checked. But, Jordan, we've been getting a lot of calls on that. But you also pointed out the importance of the fact that we represent John Boehner in these proceedings.
Absolutely. You know, one important part is the ACLJ, and, Dad, I'm just reading the opinion of the court. The first three mentioned parties here against the National Labor Relations Board and what the president did here, you know, we're number three on the list. You know, only above it is the individual who represented the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, and then the actual lawyers for the company that challenged it because of the labor dispute issue. You know, they had that actual issue was ripe for them. But right there, you know, Jay Sekulow for the Speaker of the United States of the House of Representatives, who's actually third in line to be President of the United States. And, you know, I think that speaks to talking about, think about last night, you're on Hannity talking about the assault weapons ban, and this last night, after that, I'm on talking about this pastor in Iran, and then this morning again with the pastor in Iran, and then we get this victory, and we're involved in every single one of these issues because of our supporters. We're able to have, you know, it's not just you and me, but staff's behind it, so we can talk about it and actually, you know, file the work and do the work here in the United States and around the world. And we can't do that without our supporters.
Nope. And we thank you, ACLJ members from around the country. And by the way, I'm also going to be on Megyn Kelly's broadcast with Julian Epstein debating the significance of this opinion in about 30 minutes after this program's over, or even less than that. I think 15 minutes after we're over, I'm going to be running to do that. So ACLJ.org for current information. And again, a great day to support the work of the ACLJ. I encourage you to make a donation. It's tax deductible. It's a great day to do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's get another phone call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go, and a lot of calls are coming in. Ted calling from Washington State online through the good question. Ted, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Pretty quick.
Yes.
I understand it's your radio show.
Right.
And you could talk over me if you would like. However, the radio station that I'm listening to is a Christian radio
right.
station. And this has nothing to do with Christianity.
Really?
I mean, it's strictly political.
Uh-huh.
Worldly views. It has no place whatsoever being on a Christian radio station.
Really?
I mean,
and what about the whole show?
What about the Iranian pastor that's in jail, in which we opened up with, if you were listening to the broadcast, the pastor in Iran that is in jail right now for his faith? Is that not Christian radio for you?
Have you no faith in God to secure this man?
Paul had a lot of faith, but he said, I'm a citizen of Rome, and I want my rights. What kind of view of Christianity do you have? Is just you let it happen?
Have you no faith in God, O ye of little faith?
Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, you of no one that's reading the Bible. You know, what are you reading, two verses of the Bible and ignoring the rest of it? I mean, think about how you started this, Ted. You said, GJ, you may not let me talk, and I did let you talk. And then you said, we are not talking about Christian issues, which you didn't listen to the program, obviously. And then second, when we mentioned a pastor who is being threatened with death because of his faith, what would you like us to do, just sing some music? Ted, is that what you think we should do? Just let's sing a song?
Did Paul call out for all the Christians to stand up?
Yes, exactly. Yes, I am a citizen of Rome, and you cannot take me in the back of the jail. I am a citizen of Rome. I have rights to appear before the emperor. So, yes, Ted, read the rest of it. Thank you for calling. Jordan, let's see who's next.
Back to the phones.
Good way to end
go.
A Friday. Okay.
Yeah, a lot happening. And, again, folks, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684 3110. And I think this is a good call as well because, Dad, you just got this information. We've all been looking at it. Terry in North Carolina on line two. Terry, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Terry.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about the quality of the judges that rendered this
yes.
decision. In our hometown, we just went to a viewing of a documentary done. It was called Hot Coffee, and it was about the quality of judges.
Well,
after watching that documentary, yeah. I have a whole new insight about how judges receive their seats.
Let me tell you who we got here. We've got three judges. Chief Judge, Judge David Sentell, who was appointed by President Reagan as a graduate of the University of North Carolina School of Law. Thomas B. Griffith, who was appointed by George W. Bush, is a graduate of the University of Virginia School of Law, and Karen LaCraft Henderson. Judge Henderson was appointed by George H.W. Bush, and she received her law degree from the University of North Carolina. So these were three great judges, which also tells you, folks, elections have consequences. Good judges, because you have good, you know, elections have consequences, and you saw it right here in very clearly. All right, let's go to another phone call. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Donald, South Carolina, great question. Donald, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Donald.
I guess I'm calling a lot, Jay, and that other phone caller, I could disagree with him more than 200%. I don't know what world he's coming from, but if he reads anybody's Bible, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Keep on doing that.
We'll do that.
And we continue to donate and support you.
Thank you.
My question is, now that this defiant president has been rebuffed by the court, now what do we do? So are those appointments going to be null and void?
Yes. Great question, Donald. The appointments are null and void. In fact, that's how the court ends its opinion, that the appointments are null and void and that they're vacated. So that's good. Jordan, go ahead.
A quorum. The NLRB is actually not able to function as of this moment because the quorum no longer exists. So they don't have enough members based on the court's opinion. But they have been renominated, Than. That is key. And Donald, so this fight politically will continue, though the legal battle, it'll be very interesting to see, will this be the final quarter? Will the Supreme Court weigh in?
Jordan, the timing is so interesting here because Richard Cordray, one of these nominees that we're talking about, he was renominated to this post yesterday. So what this decision does is it ensures he will not get back in that post without the Senate's engagement. If this ruling hadn't come down, Jay, I think the president would have done the same thing the next time he thought the Senate wasn't in recess.
Well, let me be very clear here what's happened so everybody knows it, because that was a great question that was just asked, and that is what happens now. These appointments are null and void. So right now the NLRB doesn't even function. And they're null and void because there was no presidential authority to make a recess appointment. So they are vacated from their inception. And I think that points to what we're dealing with here. But so everybody knows the appointments are null and void. In fact, it says, this is what the court opinion says, considering the text, history, and structure of the Constitution, these appointments were invalid from their inception. So a huge victory here, folks. We got a lot more ahead. More on the Iranian pastor coming up. Remember, if you're SiriusXM, you get the full hour. If not, go to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it live there. And again, last day for you to sign on radio to this pastor's petition in Iran. Jordan will keep you updated over the weekend, folks. Right now, we're trying to see if the pastor's still alive and where he's located, because he's not in, at least the family's been denied access. They could not find him in that prison. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org to sign on that petition for the pastor, or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to the broadcast. I want to play for you now an interview that Jordan did last night on Fox News with Greta Van Susteren. He was on with Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme. Folks, this has been a big part of this effort, this media advocacy that Jay and Jordan and Tiffany have been engaging with. A lot of credit due to them. They have to get up early to do a lot of these interviews. Also, a lot of credit to Nagme, folks. She has been tireless on this. Obviously, she cares very much about this case, but still, she has two young children going around the clock, engaging in this media advocacy. So big thanks to Jay, Jordan, Tiffany, and Nagme for engaging this effort. But we want to play for you this interview last night on Fox News. This is Jordan and Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, on with Greta Van Susteren.
The pastor's wife, Nagme Abedini, and his lawyer, Jordan Sekulow, joins us. Good evening to both of you. And first, let me go to you, Nagme. Tell me, what do you know about where your husband last was? In what particular jail? What's the last contact?
Good evening, Greta. My last contact was a few weeks ago, I believe January 9th. His family in Iran usually gets some kind of a phone call on Wednesdays, and they get to visit him every other Thursday. They did not get a call this Wednesday, and they were suspicious. And this Thursday, they went to the prison, and he was not there. They don't know where he is as of now. There was no notice. They were not aware of anything if he was moved or where he is, and the guards couldn't give him answers, and we're hoping to be able to find out where he is soon.
Jordan, either it's a bureaucratic mess up, or they're incompetent, or they have done something sinister.
Yeah, I think with Iran, you assume the worst, but you hope for the best. The best would be on Monday in court. There were multiple days of trial, but there was only one day of trial where Pastor Saeed and his attorney were able to attend. The rest were people that were summoned as witnesses from these churches to testify against him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to be there for those. But in that first day, his lawyer requested that he be moved to a better part of the prison for medical reasons. He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's talked about this. He was able to get a letter to Nagme really describing what it was like, the classic torture. One day beaten, the next day treated nicely. One day you're going to hang. The next day you're going to get out. They put that out in the media. So there's that hope that he's been transferred somewhere else. But this judge is not called the hanging judge. For no reason. I mean, and that's the U.S. government who called him the hanging judge.
Nagme, when was the last time you spoke to your husband, and how long has he been in jail in Iran?
I believe it was a few Wednesdays ago. I believe it was January 9th, and he's been in prison for almost 5 months, since September 26th. And I haven't spoken to him since, and he's every day is a big deal. Every day it counts, and every day my hope is that we can get the word out and we can get him home, get him back to the U.S. soon. And it's been too long since he's been gone from our family, and we're desperately wanting him back.
Jordan, is there anything our State Department can do or is doing? I realize that we don't have diplomatic relations with Iran. We haven't since 79, but sure. Is there anything they can do?
Sure. 49 members of Congress, 12 U.S. senators, 37 members of the House, wrote a letter to Secretary Clinton before the trial started this Monday and said, please speak out on this. Please do more. We know you're not doing everything that you can, but acknowledging that the U.S. can't just snap its fingers and this is over. We have to use our allies around the world who do have diplomatic relationships with Iran. We've done that in the past with pastors and Christians. There are countries that have much better relationships than we do. But without a statement, a clear statement from the Secretary of State that's public, that's released, that's out on their website, that you don't have to ask for to get it emailed to you, which is what the National Security Council did, calling for his immediate release and condemning Iran, which they did for non-Americans, but they have not yet done for this American, even though Congress has asked as well. So there is more to do. That helps us internationally. His actual charge, Greta, the main charge is undermining the national security of Iran intentionally and attempting to do so by setting up house churches with 15, 20 people in them. I think about that as a national security charge, like treason.
Amazing. Nagme and Jordan, thank you both, and good luck. I hope we have some good news very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Folks, that was Jordan and Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, on last night on Fox News with Greta Van Susteren. Got a feel for Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme. Kudos to her for her great work and advocating for her husband. Listen, let's stand with Nagme. Call now, 877-989-2255. It's time for the United States government to do more for this citizen. Call now, 877-989-2255.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Listen, we're going to switch gears for just a minute here. Wanted to play for you an interview that Jay did last night. He was on the Sean Hannity TV program. He was actually on with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich from Ohio. They were talking about this whole issue of the Second Amendment, obviously in the wake of the tragedy of the shooting there in Newtown. There's been a lot of talk here in Washington, D.C. about new gun control, about, you know, how to address the mental health issue and other issues surrounding the discussion that's come out of that tragedy. So Jay went on the broadcast last night with Sean Hannity on Fox News and Dennis Kucinich. They talked about this new bill that Senator Dianne Feinstein has rolled out. It's a new assault weapons ban, does other things as well, new gun control proposals within that package. There's going to be a large debate beginning here in Washington on that issue. So we wanted to quickly play for this for you, just kind of give you an idea of some of the other issues that we're working on. So let's go ahead and play that piece now.
Today, in one of the most brazen attempts to limit our Second Amendment rights, Democratic lawmakers unveiled what they are calling the assault weapons ban of 2013. Make no mistake about it, this sweeping anti-gun measure is not aimed at taking away Rambo's machine gun. This proposal also places considerable restrictions on rifles, on handguns, and on shotguns. In other words, in short, this is not Bill Clinton's 1994 assault weapons ban. This is Senator Dianne Feinstein assault weapons ban of 2013. Watch this.
Today, my colleagues and I are introducing a bill to prohibit the sale, transfer, manufacture, and importation of assault weapons and large capacity ammunition feeding devices that can accept more than 10 rounds. Let me briefly describe the legislation we're introducing. We prohibit 158 specifically named military-style firearms. Our bill also prohibits other semi-automatic rifles, handguns, and shotguns.
Now, what you just heard was your right to bear arms being shattered by these left-wing lawmakers because 158 different firearms could soon be banned right here in the U.S. if, in fact, this bill is signed into law. Now, earlier in the press conference, Senator Feinstein explained why it's important to prevent you, law-abiding citizens and Americans, from owning so-called assault weapons, which apparently now includes handguns and shotguns. Look at this.
Military-style assault weapons have but one purpose. And in my view, that's a military purpose, to hold at the hip, if possible, to spray fire, to be able to kill large numbers.
All right, forgive me, Senator, but nobody's holding a handgun at their hip, nor is anybody using a shotgun to, quote, spray fire bullets. That's simply not how guns work. Now, following that parade of misinformation, the National Rifle Association, they issued this statement, quote, Senator Feinstein has been trying to ban guns from law-abiding citizens for decades. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising that she is once again focused on curtailing the Constitution instead of prosecuting criminals or fixing our broken mental health system. Now, the American people know that gun bans do not work, and we are confident that Congress will, in fact, reject Senator Feinstein's wrong-headed approach. Now, it's not just the American people who recognize that gun bans are not the answer to preventing mass shootings. A number of studies, in fact, have concluded that the 1994 law failed in that respect as well. And according to a review by the National Institute of Justice, quote, the ban has failed to reduce the average number of victims per gun murder incident or multiple gunshot wound victims. I'll say it again. It failed to reduce the average number of victims per gun murder. And that, by the way, Senator Feinstein, by her own admission, is the intent of this legislation that she unveiled today on Capitol Hill. Now, it failed in 1994. It will fail again in 2013. Joining me now to debate the merits of this proposal on banning weapons and shotguns and pistols from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, and former congressman, now a Fox News contributor, Dennis Kucinich. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sean. Thank you.
Hi, Sean.
All right, Dennis, a particular welcome to you. We disagree on issues. You're a pretty honest guy, though. Politician gives his word, I'm sure you believe that they should follow through on it. So Barack Obama said he's never going to go after our guns. That's what he said. He made that promise. Why would he do that now? Because that's what he's doing.
Well, he can't, you know, he can't get rid of everyone's guns because the Supreme Court case, D.C. versus Heller, established the right to bear arms as an individual right. So that's a given.
But now, he's trying. The point is he's trying to.
But the Constitution protects the right to bear arms. What this law is trying to do, and it has to recognize the Constitution, because what does it do? It exempts about 2,250 different kinds of guns. But clearly, it's going after assault weapons. And I mean, I understand that. But there's one point I want to make before we start the debate, and that is this. Here's what I don't understand. The people are weaponizing themselves historically because they're, you know, historically, you go back to the beginning of the Constitution, it was to protect themselves against a tyrannical government. So now, with government getting ever more powerful, people weaponize themselves. But what's happening at the same time? More of our tax dollars is going to helping to make the government even more powerful. Somebody has to puzzle that out for me.
Beam me up, Scotty. Jay, Dennis Kucinich is the first liberal that seems to actually have an understanding of the Second Amendment.
Well, he and the congressman, to his credit, said it correctly. The Supreme Court has recognized that the Second Amendment's right to bear arms is an individual right. But, Sean, when you look at legislation as a lawyer, and the congressman, of course, knows this in his years of service in the Congress, you have to say, what's the aim of the legislation here? And the problem with Senator Feinstein's bill is not only is it broader than the 1994 provision, the assault weapons ban, but they call it an assault weapons ban, but that's not what it is. It goes much further. It would be unconstitutional. If this legislation became law, the Supreme Court would strike it down as unconstitutional. But, Sean, there's another thing here that we have to be really, really concerned with, and that is the political move of what's happening. Do you remember right after the tragedies that took place at Sandy Hook Elementary School? The president was asked, and others were asked, questions about how about having police officers on these elementary school campuses? And the answer was, well, we don't need more guns in school. Well, the answer, though, is really the exact opposite of that. What the NRA and others have said is the answer. Security personnel in elementary schools and other events, and you have that, by the way, at sporting events, you have armed security, you have it on college campuses. It's focusing on the wrong issue. This FBI said that the assault weapon ban of 1994 did nothing to lower crime. And does anybody that's watching this broadcast now think that a sign posted that said, do not carry your weapon in this area is going to prevent what happened in Sandy Hook? Or do we have to modify the HIPAA laws so that medical professionals, when they find out there's a problem, can take action?
Well, let me go to Dennis.
I could answer that, the weapon that was used, one of the weapons used at Sandy Hook was the Bushmaster AR-15. Now, that used to be, before the patent on the M16 expired, that was an M16. So now it was made for domestic purposes,
but it's a semi-automatic.
By several manufacturers.
It's a semi-automatic,
but it can fire 45 shots in a minute, but just by squeezing the trigger. So, you know, this is the problem. It's too easy to kill a lot of people.
I own an AR-15. I know a lot about guns. Let me just throw three things at you, Dennis Kucinich, if I can. I was glad to hear you actually have a fundamental understanding of the Second Amendment, more so than anybody else on your side so far that I've heard. Look, I'm willing to have an honest discussion. I've been a marksman since I'm 11, 12 years old, so I understand more than anything else gun safety. My guns are locked up. You can't get to them. We should have responsible gun ownership in this country. But if we're going to talk about guns, don't we really, and we want to stop Sandy Hooks, don't we have to deal with mental health? Don't we have to deal with parenting, values? These guns don't fire themselves, Congressman.
You know, thank you. I mean, if I was in Congress, this assault weapons ban is something I'd give careful consideration to. But I want to say something, Sean. What you just said, fundamentally right. This is a broad issue that touches all of American society. We have, unfortunately, a violent society. Guns make it very easy for people to act out on their aggression. But the truth is that the mental health problems in our society have not received enough attention. You do when there's violence, it gets the attention. But we weren't able to get mental health parity in a lot of health care legislation. You know, I know individual family members who have struggled with problems.
You can't lock up mentally ill people. You can't do it.
Here's the issue.
We need a society that cares for people.
All right, Jay,
doesn't throw them away.
Clinton-era HIPAA laws, the privacy laws, are part of the problem here. And the president thinks by the wave of a hand he can undo those, and he can't. The problem here is you need a fundamental review of the mental health laws so you can prevent Sandy Hook, so that medical professionals are not afraid to notify authorities. And I would hope the congressman said he understands that, and that's good news. In that sense, I wish Dennis Kucinich was still back in Congress if you vote that way.
Right.
Because I don't know if that will be changed in Congress, but Sean, at the end of the day, if that is not addressed, all of this is meaningless. That has to be addressed.
Right.
Mental health professionals have to be able to notify authorities.
You have privacy issues that you have to be careful of. But at the same time, we have to recognize, as you pointed out, Sean, this is a broad issue.
How do we make
this a less violent society? That ought to be the discussion. This isn't only about guns. You can pass all the gun legislation you want. You're still going to have some underlying issues of violence in the society.
Folks, again, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity and Dennis Kucinich last night on this whole issue of gun control, a big issue here in Washington, D.C. When we come back after this break, we're going to return to this issue of Pastor Saeed, the new developments in this case. Folks, this is really unbelievable. We don't know where Pastor Saeed is at this moment. That's obviously cause for great concern. Anytime you're dealing with the Iran regime, who does not have a good track record on being transparent on these issues, if you want to stand with us, if you want to demand that Pastor Saeed be released, call now, add your name to our petition. You can do it at aclj.org or 877-989-2255. We'll be back after this.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now.
Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Hey, listen, I want to give a thank you to all the media outlets that have covered this story for Pastor Saeed. Obviously, you know, Jay and Jordan and Tiffany Behrens and our international department have worked hard getting this message out. But we need to thank the news outlets that have been there for us, especially Fox News, folks. They have repeatedly and consistently covered this story, gotten the message, gotten the latest updates out to you. I mean, everybody from Sean Hannity to Megyn Kelly, Fox and Friends, Bill Hemmer, Martha McCollum, Greta Van Susteren, repeatedly getting this story out to you. Just this morning, Jordan was on again with Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagma, who's on with Bill Hemmer. They discussed the latest developments in this case. I want to play that interview for you, and then I want to come back and give you a direct call to action. Let's go to that interview now. This is Jordan on with Nagma and Bill Hemmer on Fox News.
We have some stunning new information in the trial of this American pastor on trial in Iran. Pastor Saeed Abedini is facing charges for attempting to create a network of Christian churches in that country. He's been held in an infamous prison in Tehran for several months, but now the pastor's family says that he is missing. Nagma Abedini is the wife of Pastor Saeed. She is with me now, and Jordan Sekulow is executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. And I want to start with Nagma Abedini in Boise, Idaho. And good morning to you. I can't imagine this is certainly is a time that that holds a lot of tension for you, frankly. But what would explain why he would be reported missing, do you believe? Is there an explanation for that?
Good morning. Thanks for having me this morning. We don't know where he is. His family is usually able to visit him every other Thursday. That's his normal visitation time in the prison, and he was not there, and the guards could not tell them where he was, so and there was no notice of any.
I apologize for that, but there's a family in Iran that you've been keeping in touch with, and they've called you with updates, sometimes daily. When was the last time you talked to them?
His family, his parents, and his siblings live in Iran, and they, since the raid, and since they raided their house and took Saeed to prison, they've also been on some kind of a house arrest, waiting for his trial, and also their own. And they have been able to see him every other Thursday to the prison visits, and I've been in contact with them. They're my family as well. So, yeah. And they weren't able to see him this Thursday, and the guards said he's not here, and they would not tell them where Saeed was.
His lawyer wanted him transferred to another prison because of his medical condition. Is it possible that happened, do you think?
Yes, he had serious medical conditions, and he was not being treated because some of those doctors and nurses considered him unclean because of his Christian faith. And his lawyer had asked on Monday when they presented the defense that Saeed be moved and be treated to a different cell. To a better cell, and we're not 100% sure if that's the case. We're hoping that's the case, and his family's trying to get answers within the next few days to his exact whereabouts.
Yeah, that is a possibility then. I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed
that happens. Yes, that is a possibility.
What is his medical condition? What's he suffering from?
We're not 100% sure. We knew he was dealing with some infections. He's on some of the letters and talking to him, he talks about intense pains. That he's not being treated with medication or with pain medication that other prisoners get treated with because they consider him unclean. But he's talked about some infection, some internal infections, and also some pains. I know he's had some beatings. So I'm not 100% sure what those medical conditions are, but his lawyer was concerned about his health and had asked that he be treated and be moved to a better cell and get better treatment. And
I know you've talked about he's been subject to torture while being behind bars too, and
You hope the best for him. Nagmed, thank you very much. I want to bring in Jordan Seculo quickly here because you've been working the legal side of this, and good morning to you. How is the U.S. government or how is the Department of State helping you?
Think about what Nagmed just said. It's been really since Monday that we knew Pastor Saeed was okay. He was in the trial. His lawyer was there. There was a second day of trials. He wasn't allowed to attend. Neither was his attorney. He didn't get the phone call Wednesday with his family. His family showed up yesterday that he wasn't there. Now it's Friday. The day's over in Iran. So it's a number of days to be missing when your judge has been labeled by the U.S. government as the hanging judge. But unfortunately, Bill, even with all of this, the U.S. State Department has still refused to call for his release and condemn Iran. And that is very important. I know it's tough for the U.S. government. They can't snap their fingers and solve this problem overnight. We don't have an embassy there. But for other countries around the world who do, they need some kind of guidance that, hey, the State Department, the top diplomats in the United States, and our Secretary of State thinks it's okay for us to really push for this pastor. Let's do so. I need that as we work with Pastor Saeed's family here in the United States and go around the world.
But Jordan, they have not done it. Why would Washington not give you that?
You know, it's interesting, Bill. You remember that National Security Council statement? That was a paper statement that was given to a Fox News correspondent there who asked a question in a press briefing. And so it's not on their website. You can email the National Security Council spokesman and get that, but it's not very public. And if they're able to do that, I mean, that's the CIA, Department of Defense, Vice President, President, top security advisors of the whole country. And they can okay a statement like that in 24, 48 hours. The State Department just coming up with excuse after excuse. They're saying there's a law, the Privacy Act, which prevents them from doing anything because he didn't sign the right form by the Swiss embassy that we use in Iran. Now, why would the Iranian government let him do that? I mean, there's exemptions. The president can issue an executive order. President Bush did that to exempt the entire Department of Homeland Security's flight program and the tracking the passengers between here and Europe. So easy ways, and there's an emergency exception. They don't have to get any kind of waiver at all. If someone's life is at risk or they are endangered, you can use their information. So all of these legal excuses have an answer, but it's the State Department dragging their feet for
Jordan,
American citizen.
I appreciate that. I don't mean to cut you off. It was okay to finish your sentence there. But just to Nagmed one more time, did you try reaching his family in Iran today? Did you reach out to them, or is that something you'll try again tomorrow?
Yes, we're in contact on a daily basis.
Okay, all right. My best to you. We'll be in touch with you, okay? And you as well, Jordan. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. We'll only hope for the best, certainly. Thanks. 23 minutes before the end.
Yes, thank you.
Folks, let me tell you, nothing like hearing this story about Pastor Saeed's detention directly from his wife, Nagmeh. If that doesn't personalize it for you, nothing will. I know this is something that I've done a lot. I have put myself in Pastor Saeed's shoes. He's very much like me in many ways. He's about the same age. He's got a wife and young children. He peacefully practices his faith in Jesus Christ as I do. There's a distinct difference between Pastor Saeed and me, though. Pastor Saeed is paying for a price for his faith. He's in a brutal prison in Iran, and I am here in the United States free to practice my faith freely and without oppression. That's the key difference. So I have to use that freedom, folks. I have to use the resources available to me to try to bring him back to his family. And there is a role for you to play in this. On this side of the table, we are engaging the governments of the world. We're engaging the United States government, the United Nations, other governments that have direct diplomatic ties to Iran. We are engaging the State Department, even though they continue to drag their feet. But in that process, we need your participation. You have a role to play in this. More than 230,000 of you have joined us in this effort. If you have not done that, you need to do it today. You need to play your part to bring Pastor Saeed back to his wife, Nagmeh, and his two young children. Call now, 877-989-2255, to add your name to that petition. You can also sign it at aclj.org. But listen, folks, this could be any one of us. We have a role to play. Add your name to this petition to bring Saeed home, 877-989-2255.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.